the Age of Vision radio show with your host, Lonnie Clark. We stand together and accept that we now live in a world transformed by Fukushima. Monday, Wednesday, and Friday from 8 a.m. to 9 a.m. Pacific Standard Time here on UCY.TV radio. We relentlessly engage every ear that listens. We expose and confront the complete lack of accountability for the nuclear industry. Consider social engineering programs who view our bodies, minds, and souls as assets on a balance sheet. We discuss vital current issues, interview activists, and engage our audience in an effort to allow all voices to be heard. The Age of Vision radio show creates a venue that all will choose. We encourage our listeners to reclaim their power and their courage to take action and save our planet from the ravages of greed and indifference. Our actions matter. Every voice matters. We remind our listeners that happiness is resistance. Love is greater than fear.
Good morning, UCY.TV radio listeners. Thank you for joining us today. It is April 12th. 2017. It's 8 o'clock in the morning here on the West Coast. I'm in Eugene, Oregon. Thank you for joining us. Thank you for going to the internet and listening to our show. The only way to make our radio station bigger is for you to share this station with your friends and family. Remind them they have to go to the internet to find us at www.ucy.tv/AOF every morning, Monday through Friday here on UCY at 8 a.m. Thanks for joining us, and I want to get right to it. The time flies by. It's only an hour. I'm super excited. We have our guest with us is Heidi Lambert, and she's a Northwest anti-nuke activist who grew up in Hanford. And Heidi, I just want to jump right in and welcome you to the show. Thanks for joining us.
Oh, thank you, Lonnie. I really enjoy being here.
So what was it that you wanted to speak about today? I know you had a few things on your mind.
Yeah, well, I wanted to talk about the culture of resistance against anti-nukers. And I wanted to talk about how if you disagree with nukes, you kind of go through your life believing that there's this group of people fighting for you, like a Greenpeace or, you know, just all these activists that are taking their lives and risking them to stop nukes. And as I've become an anti-nuke activist myself, I'm starting to realize there really isn't that many people out there.
No.
There's actually a handful of people, and they have different reasons for doing it. Some are attorneys, and they're doing it through the law, and some of them are suing to get money. Some of them are pretty active, but when you go to, like, a DOE hearing, it's very common to not see anyone there to speak out against nukes.
Wow.
So I wanted to talk about that.
Yeah. Well, it is definitely. I mean, I've talked on this show many times about how, like, even action groups like Natural Resource Defense Fund, you know, they actually had a hand in keeping two leaking nuclear power plants open in Illinois. They worked with the Illinois legislature to keep leaking, known leaking nuclear power plants open so that they could achieve their goal of shutting down coal.
Right, and that's another thing I'm noticing a lot is that people will boast that they're green, like that 350 org, boast that they're against coal and they're for green power, but then when you look that they're totally pro-nuke, and that they think that nukes are green.
Right.
And that's so weird to me, you know, it's such a weird manipulation of science, and I notice it a lot with young people when I have conversations with 20-something people, they'll tell me that we're learning about atomic science and that somebody is going to create a way to recycle it, and then we won't have a waste problem, and so that it's not a problem.
Yeah, I actually saw that that last night. I was a guest host on a radio show on, for goodness sakes, the name escapes me, with Jeff Incinci on, gosh, well, I'll figure out the name of it in a second. But a young man called in and said, "Well, don't you think that this nuclear stuff is going to actually help us evolve and become stronger humans?" Oh,
Right.
like. No, actually, no, I don't think it's going to do that. I think it's going to kill us. I mean, even today in the news, did you see this morning's Google headlines brought out that the salmon run off the coast of Northern California to Oregon coast is closed. There's no salmon, and there was not one word. It's only about, quote, global warming. There's no connection to the poisoning of our oceans by nuclear contamination. None. Zero. Or
None.
the pollution, all the other pollution that causes it. But we know for a fact that the nuclear pollution is causing harm. Although, in the same vein, when I opened up the news this morning, I saw this story about microbes. You know how we talk about microbes here? There's actually, it's becoming mainstream that microbes are a way to remediate their nuclear radiation. It's You know, they're touting it as new science, a new deal, and they're putting it into action.
Well, the microbes is dealing with things on an atomic level. You know, a small level, an atom. You know, so that makes sense that if we make something that can deal with it on an atomic level, but those microbes still aren't putting those atoms back together. You
Right. And
know,
they're
they're just
not,
helping
you're
those atoms
actually.
evolve.
Exactly. You still, at the end result, is we still have to do something with whatever it is the microbes have created. You know what I mean? Like wherever it goes into, it's
Yeah.
still, it, this is, don't you think this is the amazing part of it? The lack of conversation about a worldwide testing on the real effects of nuclear contamination. Because don't you think it's stunning, Heidi, that they only test for a very limited amount of toxins? Like they don't test for plutonium, which lasts 24,500 years.
Sure, yeah, because then they would be proven right away that this is not a fast answer, a quick answer. This isn't a quick fix. What they are doing is something that changes the evolution of our Earth and maybe even space. And
Everything,
they.
it's changed. That's why the name of this show is The Age of Fission, because everything has changed after that. We're in a new atomic age, period, no matter what. We're it.
Right. And I think instead of people realizing that, and saying, "Hey, wait, put on the brakes. Let's not make any more waste until we figure out what to
Right.
do with it." They just go, "Ah, it's all good," and they just
We'll
keep
figure it
doing it.
out.
We'll figure it out. Well, and it's funny you say that because I wanted to talk about the vitrification plant at Hanford a little bit because it's the world's largest construction zone, and it's Bechtel. And the vit plant is modeled after designs that they did in France. Because Europe in the 60s and 70s, Europe got really excited about nuke power too. And they put it in all these reactors, but Europe is so small, they realized really quickly that they had no place to put their waste. And they started to realize really quickly that it was a pain in the butt to move waste and to try to store the waste. And so what they did was they created in France the vit plant. And that was an okay answer for France because all of their waste was made at the same time and was kind of the same sort of plutonium stuff, you know, sludge. And so they could pipe it into this vit plant that then took the waste and didn't stop the waste, but what it did is it turned it to solid form. It turned it into a glass. And so then that way it was easier to store. And the DOE made contracted Bechtel, who had built the vit plant in Europe, and asked them to build it in Hanford. They asked they started this project in the late 80s. It was like 88, and it wasn't until like 2011, 2012 that I started hearing that the vit plant was a fast track build, and I kept hearing that it was a fast track build. And I thought, well, what in the hell takes 30 years and can be called fast, you know?
Right.
So I started looking up what fast track build means, and I actually have a definition here. It says fast track building is construction is the industry jargon for a project delivering a strategy to start construction before the design is complete.
Wow.
Right? So they don't, they're making
They
this
don't
big
even know
plan.
what they're doing. They're just building. They're like, okay, we'll figure it out as we go.
And in the 2012s is when we started having too late 2000s, is when we started having a lot of whistleblowers of engineers who kept saying, we can't do this vit plant. This vit plant, and mind you, it's $2 million a day that they're spending on this vit plant. And this is
Wow.
supposed to be the solution. This is supposed to be the answer to Hanford's waste. And what happened was, is these engineers said, everything was so top secret at Hanford for so long, and so much mixed waste and experiments went into these tanks that no gallon of waste out of the 56 million gallons of waste there, not 1 gallon is the same. And so we
What?
can't pipe it to the
That's
vit plant.
what?
Yeah. Yeah, they're
56
all.
million gallons of waste and not 1 gallon is the same?
Yeah, not 1 gallon. And it's because you have to remember that this is where they created nuke science. This is the beginning. And so they just threw this sludge in, they threw it in the ground for decades. But when they started to realize it was poisoning the water and poisoning their environment, they started to put them in single-shelled tanks. And then, radiation has a way with metals. It changes metal. So it decomposed these tanks really quickly, way more than it was supposed to, faster. And so then they made double-shelled tanks, and those now are leaking. And so this is where the vit plant became really vital, because we realized that we couldn't take this liquid waste and store it in these metal tanks in the ground. But again, with these tanks, and I'm trying to remember how many tanks there are. I want to say there's 50 some. Each tank came from a different era of this discovery of the science, and
Agreed.
it was top secret. So whoever was the contractor of Hanford at that time could put whatever they wanted. When I was growing up there, I was told that there was a school bus in a tank, and that somehow a school bus had gotten contaminated, and so they just stuck the whole school bus in the tank. And so these tanks have different things. Some tanks maybe are full of farm animals that they experimented on, or equipment that they used. It's not just the waste, it was things that were contaminated. And what do you do with all of that? Because it's then, it's radioactive. And we don't think about that. We don't think about, oh, they did this radiation testing on a cow, and you think, oh, well, you can just bury that cow. But in fact, that's now radioactive waste.
My
And it's going to
God.
take that cow will decompose, and the waste will still be there for thousands and thousands of years. And so that's what we're dealing with Hanford and these tanks. And yet, if you go there, people will defend it. They will defend it, and they will defend it. They
Like
will
that
call
young
you
man. It
like the
then,
young.
the name of this radio station was called Radio Confluence. That's what it was. And there's a guy that called in from England, and he was like, I mean, honestly, after talking to him about 5 minutes, he didn't go much further into this might help us, because honestly, the logic, when you confront people with the logic of what they're saying and what they're defending, they can't really. If you know something about this and what it actually, the science, the real science says that it's detrimental. Not just to life, living life, but it's detrimental to future life because it breaks our chromosomes, it breaks our DNA in half, and life can't sustain itself like that. I mean,
Right.
it's a wish, it's a beautiful wish thought. You know, it's kind of like Dr. Weinberg saying that they're the nuclear priesthood. When I read that the first time, it reminded me of the pharaohs and the chilling effect of what the pharaohs had on the Egyptian people. They just let them
Right.
starve to death in the middle of the desert. You know what I mean? Like,
Right, and
really?
these people are just letting these people be contaminated.
Yeah.
Right now, it's worldwide. It's not just in the United States. I mean, this is a
No.
worldwide issue. And in the Middle East, people don't even realize how much the U.S. has contaminated the Middle East just with depleted
Continues.
uranium.
Since Trump was elected, the bombings in Yemen are up by 300%. And so, you know, people elected him because they thought he wasn't going to be a war guy, that they were afraid that Clinton was going to start World War III. Well, that plan's already, it doesn't matter who's in the White House, as we've seen. And the children of Yemen, the children of Iraq, And now we're bleeding these depleted uraniums all over into Africa. We're selling depleted uranium weapons into Africa.
Yeah. And so to me, that's the solution to this pollution is to dilute it. And that's how the US has dealt with it for decades. Is if we just pass this radiation around the world and everybody has it and everybody has cancer, then no one can pinpoint it back to us.
Right. And
Then
we'll
it's
kind of,
everybody's.
you know what this guy said? Don't you think we'll acclimate? We'll like kind of get used to it. No, I don't think we are going to get used to it. I think it kills life. You can't just keep drinking arsenic and say, oh, my body's going to get used to it.
Well, but that is interesting you bring that up, Lonnie, because I do notice sci-fi glorifying
Right.
mutancy and this whole like artificial intelligence and robotic
Right.
cyborg kind of future and that what that kid was telling you about how radiation makes you stronger. Like, I definitely think that that's a preconceived misnotion that the Hollywood has fabricated this whole like super Godzilla, you know, beast. And I actually I bring up Godzilla for a reason because I once met this author who did a comparison of Godzilla in Japan to nuclear bombs. And she was talking about how Japan was so I guess it was communist or it was just such a shut such a censored country that people couldn't
Authoritarian, yeah,
about the
yeah,
nukes. And
yeah.
so it was so censored, and yet the animators made Godzilla in, and Godzilla was really symbolic for the atomic energy and how Godzilla had taken over Japan and the people had to go up against Godzilla to save their world, you know. And I think that that's yet again this glorification that people can overcome nuclear science.
Right, that's right.
But at the same time, like you're saying, it's a fact that it makes a difference forever. When it breaks your DNA and you're mutinized, like you're mutinized forever. So in
Yeah.
a sense, we're creating this whole society of mutants
Yeah. And this is
without
the
even.
other thing about that is, you know, the reality is we are changed. I mean, we live in the age of fission. That is just our reality. But like my thing is, I think what we ought to do is demand an end to all brand new nuclear projects. The only thing the nuclear industry needs to do is shift from production to healing, to figure out solutions to the harm they've already caused. Like this, I was very excited about that the microbe story is going mainstream. It was in Scientific, the New Science Scientific magazine or something like that. But it actually is a solution that we could move. There is solutions that's the one thing that's really shocking is people don't even mind that they're suppressing solutions. That's kind of the shock. They are suppressing solutions.
Right. Because it's
And
big money. The cleanup is huge money in itself. Like, look at the Vit plant, $2 million a day for a fast track build that they have no solution.
right, that they haven't even thought out completely at all, that they don't
Yeah.
really understand what they're doing.
Yeah.
I
And
mean, could
all
you
these little
imagine
things.
going to work and saying, well, I sort of have an idea about it, but I'll work it out. So keep paying me and I'll work it out as you keep paying me. So don't worry about it. If we have trouble, I won't charge you too much. You know, don't worry. And actually,
Yeah.
that's not true. They keep raising the rates. The harder the project, the rates get higher.
Right, or the more people that get sick and the more
This
that
is
they
the
can't hide
stunning
it.
thing for me. It is the when you know we're talking about how it's almost that people are rejecting the idea that nuclear is fundamentally harmful. What really stuns me is the denial of elected officials about the harm that Hanford is causing to its own people. And all around, every nuclear facility has sick employees, everyone.
Right. Well, in
And
cultures, just even the culture around Hanford is very sick with cancer, Lonnie, but it's so sick with mental illness
yeah.
and just domestic issues. And I almost feel like that's a great distraction. It keeps people busy in their own lives so that they can't uprise or fight out against or speak out against it.
Well, that's because
And
they feel so overwhelmed. I mean, Heidi, you and I have discussed this before. We're dealing with facing the world's largest military ever known to mankind. We have the strongest nuclear force ever in our country. We are facing a huge mountain to climb. On top of that, the whole entire government has been co-opted.
Right.
I
And
mean,
it's all, it's a fear industry.
they're shutting down the salmon run on the West Coast, and not one word about nuclear pollution. I personally
Right.
think that nuclear pollution is the fundamental cause of the global warming. I'll just tell you that straight out. I mean, I know that people say, God, don't you think that? I said that to Chuck Johnson. I don't think it's outrageous. I think it's killing the biology of the oceans, which is speeding up. If you overlay, just use logic. This is how scientists begin their scientific work. You look at something that seems apparent and then you follow it and study it. The downfall we've had since World War II, frankly, has been there's no studying. Or if there is studying, they don't tell us. We're on a need-to-know basis, and we don't need to know.
Well, and I think that we think so locally that we think of nukes as being a U.S. thing, and we think about it being regulated through the U.S. But I always think of nuke science as being international and like bigger than country governments. Like Bechtel is a really good example. Bechtel does business in every country. Anywhere there's nukes, they're there. But they're so the stock they're they work with DOE. Of all the, different countries have their own Department of Energy, and they deal with whatever compliances they have to deal with or break whatever compliances they have to break. But for me, this is an international industrial complex. This is huge. And I think that people can't realize it's that big. And so they don't realize that it's co-opted our science. Like if you go to school and you want to learn nuclear science, it's going to be very one-sided. You're only going to hear about how it works, how it's
Yeah.
safe.
Talk to Arne Gunderson about that. I mean,
Right.
did you hear the NERS, his interview on NERS this last week? Miss Milky the Clown posted it up on her YouTube channel. It's also on their website, NIRS.org. They had a conference with him, and he was talking about Chernobyl, Three Mile Island, and Fukushima. And he said somewhere in there, I don't remember, it actually made my heart sort of weep for him. That was the first time, like, it sort of made me fall in love with him, to be honest. I felt like I need to apologize to him after that. He discussed how, for a long time, he was on the other side of the fence because they just didn't get the information. Like, their box is so closed in. Like, they
Right.
don't get it. And until something super catastrophic happens, nothing shakes their world hard enough until, like, Fukushima shocked him. And, he didn't say it explicitly, but he did sort of intimate why other scientists aren't coming out, because it is so detrimental to your life and your lifestyle. If you buck them, you do not have a job in the industry. There is
Right.
no industry of science that's anti-nuclear that says, hey, I'm a nuclear scientist and I want to find solutions, so can you pay me $80,000 a year so I could live decently? There's not a place like that.
Right. And that's exactly the topic that I wanted, that's what I wanted to touch on today, Lonnie, is like that we're the people who are resisting nukes, those scientists like Gunderson or Gunter, is that how you say his last name?
It's Gunderson, Gunderson.
Gunterson, is that he had to abandon his
Oh, yeah.
livelihood and
Yes.
he had to deal with his peers telling him he's crazy. And that takes a lot of courage. It takes a
And he
lot
has
of
to,
courage.
he takes the brunt of anti-nuke activists who are like, well, where the hell were you? What are you talking about? And blah, blah, blah. You know what I mean? Like,
Right.
so he gets it
Right.
from all freaking sides. It's like, for real, like, what do
Right.
they expect us to do? We're in the middle of the stew. Unfortunately, we're all members of the same club. We're all living in the same stew.
Right,
I
but I just want to touch on that realization that the nuke industry has billions and billions of international money to push its agenda. But the anti-nukes are you and me and Arnie, like we're individuals. We're just people. We're
Right.
not, like you're saying, it's not this huge complex of educators and scientists. It's just people. And so what happens is if you're just an, let's say, Joe Blow, and you don't really even care too much, you're going to listen to this huge industrial complex that has all these glossy brochures that tell you everything's fine and everyone's safe. And then you have these individual people on the street corner telling you that the world's about to end. And so it's like, so it's so much easier for Joe Blow to just go, I'm going to believe the complex. Like, I'm going to believe the
scientists. That's what I've been told. You're not listening to scientists. I'm like, actually, yeah. I am listening to scientists. But, you know, people don't even know about I suggest everybody go to this website, in fact, and learn about the history of the nuke industry. The independent WHO.org. And it is the World Health Organization doctors who quit the UN and and formed a protest organization, basically, against the censorship that the IAEA has over the World Health Organization. They protest. They have a protest 7 days a week in Europe at the IAEA headquarters to tell them to renegotiate their contract at the UN headquarters, to ask them, to demand they renegotiate their contract with the WHO doctors to give them free flexibility, because everything that the WHO does can be vetted and suppressed by the International Atomic Energy Agency. So this is why we have bad reports coming out of Chernobyl, Three Mile Island, Fukushima, the Zika virus, which I firmly believe is caused by the uranium mining in Brazil. I mean, right. we didn't have microencephaly in South America ever. They've had the Zika virus down there for a long, long time. We never had microencephaly until after 2012, when they opened up uranium mining all over Europe.
Right.
I mean, not Europe, I beg your pardon, South America and Brazil. And every place where there are these microencephaly babies, downwind from them is a nuclear facility or a uranium facility.
Well, we do have that same denial in the U.S. because around Hanford, yes, they kept having those babies without skulls.
They keep having them. It's not like they kept having them. They keep having them.
Right, exactly. But yet, the health department will go on and on and on about how it's the mothers.
Right.
Who were malnutritioned and didn't do the right things. And they blame the mom.
That's their MO, though, Heidi. And I read a story yesterday. The mothers in Japan are being blamed for their kids bleeding noses, for their ears bleeding, for their teeth falling out. They're telling them they're worrying them and not feeding them right so that they're having these illnesses.
Right. And so
they've moved families back in 7 miles away from in Namie. Japan, Namie, I don't know how you say that. I say Namie. But they are 7 miles away from an ongoing nuclear disaster. They forced these people to move back in.
Oh, man, that reminds me of we had a speaker named Umi from Japan, and she came and she spoke at A15 when we did the April 15th action at Hanford.
I saw a video.
Yeah, great, great gathering. And yet again, there was protesters there protesting us, protesting nukes. You know, it was just the weirdest dynamic. But Umi, I remember she was there and we were driving around Hanford and she kept saying, where's the evacuation zone? Where's the evacuation zone? And I kept saying, they never evacuated anyone. There was never an there never was like an accident declared there, even though the waste in the ground is one of the biggest, you know, contaminated sites in the world. It's still leaking, so it's an active contamination.
Right.
But yet people can live up to the gates of it. They can live across the river of it, and nobody will stop people from living there, eating or farming. And yet everyone is so sick. And yet again, it's just like, oh, that's life, you know. There's no warnings. There's no warning. That's part of this injustice that this industry is doing to our people, because they're not being honest about the risks. They're not. They avoid it. They avoid even telling you where you are, how close
right.
you are to the risks.
Right.
And so all of this blindness to it makes it so easy to go through your day and be like, oh, everything's okay, you know. Oh, those protesters, they're just angry. They'll protest anything, and they just devalue it. And that's
Well,
where
that's part of what the demonizing of protesting is all about. That's what gaslighting. This is the thing. What you and I are talking about is gaslighting. I mean, we're
right.
talking to battered women here, women who are not ready to leave their batterers.
I feel like a battered woman, and
We
I
are
feel
battered. We are.
right where we are battered, and I'm saying my husband beats me, or whatever partner you want to, my partner is beating me, and nobody in society is listening to me. I feel
Well,
like they're saying, well,
Heidi,
you're, yeah.
is that any different than what we say to the women? I mean, domestic violence is out of control in this country. Children get beaten up, women get beaten up all the time and demonized for staying with their partners. And the cops won't even protect them. So that whole, see what I'm saying? Like, this is my feeling, frankly. This is after doing this show for a couple of years, and especially in the last year when I've been interviewing lots of people. There's kind of a common thread here, and it is gaslighting at its peak, but it's all combined. Like, the reason that they ignore these other problems is so that we're not looking at the catastrophic effects, the health effects of what this industrialized society is doing to our planet. It's
Right.
John Goffman said it's not just nuclear, it's all the technologists. And we are finding that to be true. Like, American medicine kills 1 million people a year, documented. You know what I mean?
Right.
In America, why do 1 million people a year die at the hands of incompetent medical association? The big pharma actually hires accountants to calculate how many people are going to die from this drug if they put it on the market, and what do they estimate will be their have to pay out for the death of these people. And yet our government allows governments around the world, not just ours, but Europe, all over the place. So
Sure.
we have a system that, when I say in my intro we're assets on a balance sheet, I said that flippantly a couple years ago at an Occupy protest, right? So that brings back this idea, Heidi. What about this idea of Occupy? Now it's being called the resistance,
Right.
right? And
Well,
we're
it
being
was
demonized for not getting behind Trump.
right. And then always compared, it's constantly being compared. It keeps bringing me back to the term colonization, and I feel like nuclear power is like the ultimate in colonization. And in when you colonize, you believe you're better, and you believe that you can conquer, and you also believe that you people need to die. When you colonize, you believe that you're better, and the people who you're colonizing aren't people, and so they're allowed to die. And that's what I feel about with nuke science. I feel like they think they're smarter and they know more, and so anyone who dies, it's because they didn't know better. But at the same time, I grew up at Hanford around nuclear science, and I saw cancer doesn't give a shit. Cancer will happen. It doesn't matter how rich you are, how smart you are, what you do for a living. Cancer has no prejudice, and no one's safe from it. And so that's where I guess it lies with me of why I feel so determined to fight the nuclear science, because I see it not having any checks and balances. There's nobody telling, you know, it goes back to the DOE hearings. I used to, when I lived at Hanford, they used to have a lot of DOE hearings. In the Department of Energy, and I started going them because of Occupy. Quite honestly, I was always afraid to go to them, and it was when I went and met a bunch of people from Occupy Portland that they encouraged me to go to these hearings. And one of the hearings that I went to was about whistleblowing, and it was about how people who work at Hanford do not feel safe to speak out. And the DOE acted shocked. The whole panel. And then this is when I learned that Hanford was a fast track build, because that came out of the DOE's mouth themselves. And they said, we need the people's input. In order for us to solve this, we have to work together. It's the people in the field who are working who are going to help us come to these solutions. And that's when I realized the contradiction there. So they want the people to help them figure out the science and try to come up with solutions. And yet if anyone speaks out against it, then they get fired and they don't get a job. And it's been like that for decades.
Well, that's because it's privatized. That's because we have subcontractors. If this was a, it's the same, it's exact, this has been the process since they began on these big public works when they got off track. And frankly, it all started after World War II. The deep state took over. And I mean, on this radio show that I was a guest host, they asked me to talk about Fukushima. And this is where I'm grateful because people want to hear about it now, right? And so, but one of the things, I mean, I can't help but firmly believe this is why, I mean, honestly, why I'm going to school. Because the whole thought process, the intellectuals in our society, if you dare speak about nuclear or ending the technology, the production methods that we have now, they look at you aghast. I mean, the whole concept, it goes against the grain of everything that we consider to be the norm in our culture. And yet, having cancer, okay, so this is an example, Heidi. The sugar industry, we know that if you don't stop eating sugar, you are more than 50% inclined to get cancer, period. That study's already been done thousands of times, hundreds of times at least. Sugar is an attractor for cancer cells. For some reason, we don't know why. But we also know that we're living in the age of fission, where the air we breathe, the food we eat, is giving us toxins, very tiny levels of toxins.
Right.
But if you continue to eat sugar, and our government is subsidizing sugar, we have
right.
eliminated all kinds of crops in this country to grow sugar out on the taxpayer's dime.
Right, or corn syrup, refined corn syrup.
Yeah, corn syrup and sugar. And actually, we subsidize corn syrup, too. The production,
oh, yeah.
The specific production of corn syrup. Because a few years ago, there was somebody in the, I don't know if there's a senator of the House, I was following a bill. They wanted to end the subsidies for corn syrup because America's corn syrup does all kinds of horrible things to your system. You should not consume it if you can help it. And so this
right.
guy wanted to have legislation that said, why are we subsidizing this? That thing got killed in a heartbeat. Like it did not go very far. It didn't even make it out of committee. So
right.
why is that? The why? It's the same nuclear denial. This is what I mean, Heidi. I think it's all worked in together because at a sub level, it tells us that we do not have control of our own lives or our own environment. And if we want to be alive and want to be grateful, we have to go along with their program and do what they say.
Yeah. And to me, that's a structure of colonization. That's this structure that they know better, they're smarter,
that's
and that
right.
they've conquered the world. And colonization is very much about fear. And colonization is very much, I mean, it's very white. I hate to bring race into it, but it's a very white.
You know
structure.
What? You can't help but bring race into it because race is what got. If our European forefathers had actually come with humility around the world without murder, death, kill, the world would look a lot different because
right.
there were cultures that were living within relative peace of each other, had, you know, allowed each other to grow. Not that there weren't without conflicts, but there were not this. And even in these vast civilizations, I mean, like the civilizations that have disappeared, the thing that they did that, you know, we don't know why they disappeared, but, you know, they did do human sacrifice, but, you know, tell me allowing cops to kill people on the street is not human sacrifice day after day to the money gods.
Right. And the thing about nukes is, you know, it's one thing if you have two ancient cultures that war and have conflict. It's another when you nuke them, you know. And it's
right.
like, look, if you look at modern day today, who's getting the most nuclear fallout? It's people of color. It's Asia and it's the Middle East. And yet
That's
everybody
right.
in America is like, oh,
and
well,
Africa.
Not
Let's
here.
Don't forget
it's Africa.
Africa.
Yeah, it's the people of color. And so to me, it's like this really gross, like, human experiment. And people don't realize that these people these people are being decimated. Like, they may as well just disappear off the face of the earth, because once you're so exposed to the contamination, your DNA will never, you're now a mutant culture.
Well, besides that, most of them can't reproduce. That's the issue. It doesn't kill you immediately, but your reproduction level goes way down. This is, in fact, it's not the detriment to species. Who wasn't that Mr. Musso who studied the birds in Japan?
Yeah.
Like, there's no sparrows in Fukushima now. Right. 2 years ago, there were 12 sparrows. And he wrote that. I remember reading that very distinctly. There was a sentence I read 2 years ago when I was reading about this study that he did over there. It was maybe a year and a half ago. It was in 15. And he said, the threat, yeah, it does cause cancer in the immediate birds, but many species can survive it. But the big thing is the future. It cuts down your ability to reproduce.
Right. Well, and you'll see that with the starfish. You know, the last couple of years in the starfish have depleted, or, you know, what do they call it?
So wasting, have the salmon.
Wasting starfish, and they can't figure it out. All the starfish just turn to mush and disappear. And all of the, you know, the sea otters and the seals were starving. We had thousands and thousands of dead seals on the beaches last year because they said that all of the algae and the foods that they ate weren't in the ocean. But when you look at the studies of the ocean, which are done by OSU and Wormwood, both very pro-nuke colleges, both of them will say that it's calcification of the ocean. But mm-hmm. they won't say, or they'll even say it's the heating, that the ocean has raised in temperature. Mm-hmm. But they don't talk about Fukushima or all the nuke experiments that have gone on between us, Korea, China, India, South America. I mean, there's a lot of underwater bombings that have been going off in the Pacific.
Well, not only that, we have Hanford and Diablo Canyon. Diablo Canyon just pours its water waste right into the river that goes to the mouth of the Pacific.
And this has been going on for decades.
Yeah.
And yet people will just ignore it. And they just say, oh, no, you know, everything's fine.
The ocean's too big. It can't affect anything.
Yeah. And then you're like, well, then why are these effects happening? And then people close their eyes to those effects as well. It's like it's a brainwashing. I feel like I live in a brainwashed culture. And I feel like it's only because it's easier. It's easier to just go along with what you're told than to question it. And it's easier to fight for it and say that it's right than it is to question it. Because if you question it, you go into this rabbit hole of mysteries that we're in, where there are great scientists who are doing great work to help prove and validate what we're seeing. But I would say they've only come out since Fukushima. It's only been like 5 years that we've had this backlash of scientists.
If you go to the World Health Organization, the independent World Health Organization, independent WHO.org, there's a group of them that walked away after Chernobyl, and they regularly walk away, but nobody hears about them because the power of the controllers, the overlords, the people that have the message, they can't even get on television, to be honest. That's how deeply the control is. You don't know about them.
Right, because of our media being owned by these corporate. I mean, to me, it's about these corporations. And so these corporations are all part of this industrial complex, you know, and then it goes back to that nukes are bigger than just one country and one government. It's bigger. It's a, you know, maybe five people who are making decisions for the whole world. And they're making those decisions by promoting the science and the education for nukes and the way that they, you know, make these organizations that look like organizations that are for green energy, but when in fact they're designed to propel nukes. It's not even an anti-nuke movement. it's a pro-nuke movement under the guise of being green.
Yeah. Yes, that's right. So, Heidi, you know what? I wish I'd cut asked this question 15 minutes ago. We have 15 minutes left. You grew up in Hanford. You're an active anti-nuke activist. What can people do? What can we do? How do we combat this? Like, how most of us don't have the language, the capacity to regurgitate all the harm that's being done to us. But how do we combat that with our neighbors and our friends? What do you do? How do you suggest it?
Well, I feel I thought about this a lot this morning, actually, Lonnie, because when I grew up being told that my dad, who was a nuclear engineer, he was a weapons designer, and he was very much so against Hanford, and he felt very much taken advantage of. And when he started speaking out against it, the government pretty much just deemed him crazy, and they institutionalized him, and then they told him he was crazy, and so then he got a check, and that act, the disability, then unvalidated everything he had to say. So I grew up thinking that everything my dad said and believed was crazy, and so I believed what I was being told by the surrounding area, that everything was fine and everything was safe. And it took about 20 years of me growing up and reflecting and thinking. But when I lived in the Tri-Cities in the early 2000s, up until 2010 is when we moved away, 2011, in that decade, I started to realize that I was afraid to tell my neighbors what I thought and my friends. I was afraid that they would think I was crazy. And when I finally did get the courage to speak out, a lot of people said that I was crazy and they didn't believe me, and I lost friends. And so this started an integrity within me. It was a truth that I knew. And so I live with that in my heart. Like, this is my truth. And it might not be everybody's truth, but it is my truth. And this is what I understand it, and this is how I experience it. And so that has given me a strength, especially in Tri-Cities, because in Tri-Cities, I'm just a radical hippie. I don't know anything, and they just devalue me. And so when I go up against people, usually they're nuclear scientists, they're doctors, and they're very sure of themselves, and they think they know everything. And so eventually I just have to come to the end of the argument of, that's what you believe, and this is what I believe, and I'm not convincing you, and you're not convincing me, but I'm not going to hide my truths anymore. And so that's what my advice is to everyone who's listening, is that don't hide it. Don't keep your mouth shut so that you're not ruining the dinner party. Don't try to make everybody comfortable. If you are in a conversation and you have an opinion, then speak it. And if people don't agree with you, that's fine. But at least at the end of the day, when you go to sleep, you know you said your truth. And that's
Isn't
why I
that
do
what
this.
they've been trying to brainwash us that we have to be politically correct? Like the idea of when you said, well, I don't know if we can talk about race. Well, that's the self-censor. Like, oh, maybe we shouldn't talk about it. But indeed we should, because it is about racism. It is about white supremacy, because they have always targeted. I mean, it is, look, 90% of Native American men die of cancer right now because of the nuclear testing and the bleeding, gaping uranium mines on their native lands, in
And the
their own
waste.
countries.
And the waste, where we go and mine the uranium and spread it all over the freaking place, and then we just leave. You know, north of Tri-Cities, there's a little town named Othello. And Othello was a railroad company, a railroad town. I mean, it was farming, but the railroad is what kind of made it a big deal there. It definitely enabled farmers to get their fruit and vegetables out before they went bad. One of the railroad lines went from Chicago to Seattle, and it went through Othello, and they could get ice from the mountain and ice the fruit and ship it to Chicago. So that sounds really innocent and sounds really well. But then after you understand the nuclear science, actually Chicago, that railroad was put in for nukes. That was a Chicago lab bringing stuff to Eastern Washington. And north of that, north of Othello, there's Spokane, where there was native land, and that's where they were uranium mining. So they would bring the uranium on the train down. So what you started seeing was really these trains were really carrying nuclear waste and contamination. And through with that, like the uranium mine, that was just an open-hauled train. So you would hear about the dust and how there was dust. It was so dusty all the time. Well, come the 60s, everyone died in Othello. Everyone had cancer. And they all blamed the farming and the different DDTs and poisons they were putting on the fields. But then, and no one questioned the train and the train line. But the U.S. government came in pretty promptly in the 70s and tore up all those trains and took away all that evidence.
For real?
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, there's even articles of them taking the train tracks. They took the train tracks out of Hanford and sold them as recycled metal. And you can find articles, Lonnie, where they tested the tracks and they'll say the tracks were not radioactive. They passed, you know, contamination testing. However, we found radioactive mud wasps nesting on the tracks. And so we were able to actually get rid of these radioactive bees by tearing out the...
But they sold the steel.
Yeah, but they sold the steel. And it's very, that's very like Hanford.
Do we know who they sold them to?
It was probably a silverware maker. Yeah, it's probably someone who makes silverware. We don't know. You know, they melt it down and call it good. That's the thing about this this is such an atomic contamination. It's so small. It's so... You can't see it, you can't smell it, you can't sense it, and it's just in our world. And that's why it's so easy for everyone to say it's safe.
Right, it's because like you really can't feel it. You cannot tell. You can't taste it in your food. You don't know it. The fact is all of our food has... This is why they stopped testing, because they don't want to tell us that our food is contaminated, frankly. And this is why it's important for us to clean up our own diets and be responsible for ourselves, because we know we live in a system where we go to the store, we buy food, we have to trust that it's being protected. And the realization that it's not, doesn't mean we're going to drop off like flies, but it does mean that you find out about how to make it work for yourself for as long as you possibly can.
So back to advice that I could give out to people. Please. About speaking out, Lonnie, I wanted to talk a little bit about actions, because something that has been coming up a lot in my life is people keep asking me, what action are we going to do? What action are we going to do? I want to do actions.
You know? I actually said that to you myself.
You have. And lots of people, and you're not the only one. And so I just want to say that, you know, I have done really big actions about Hanford. Usually I've been disappointed, to be honest, because I don't get the turnout or I don't get the response that I was hoping for. And also with these different, and so what I'm trying to say is there's lots of different actions. There's actions of educating each other and informing one another. There's those actions of sitting at the dinner party and actually making people uncomfortable with your opinions. And then there's actions like going to the DOE hearings. I mean, those are huge. Of all the actions I've done, me speaking out and testifying at a DOE hearings are probably the ones I'm the most proud of. And they're the scariest, man, because those are the ones where Homeland Security is sitting right beside you and you know they have your name, you know? But you also know you're just speaking your truth. And I think that more Americans need to go to the DOE hearings and speak out. We need to be watching.
And how do we find out about them?
I'm on a Hanford mailing list. Honestly, it's a tri-party Hanford mailing list, and they send me emails when they're coming. And they're like monthly. They have them a lot. And they have them in Portland, and they have them in the Tri-Cities. And they discuss things about changing permits. They discuss about changing the different bids for different corporations to be able to go in and bid to have the contracts. But I think that that's important for people to do those things. And I think that those kind of actions make a bigger difference than having, you know, a bunch of bodies laying on a train track. And so that they can't move. I mean, now they don't really use the trains, they say, anymore for moving waste. I know that there was a huge uproar about them using semi trucks to use waste, and they'll tell you it's for medical grade waste. It's when you have chemo, and all of that chemo creates waste, and that waste has to go to a waste site like Hanford. So you maybe will be going to OSU or OSHU, OHSU hospital to get your cancer treated. But then they take all of that waste and they put it in a semi, and then they drive it to Hanford to dispose of it. And what people don't realize is if that semi truck gets in an accident, those first responders really aren't informed that they're going to a nuclear waste spill. They think they're going to an accident. And so there was a lot of argument about not being able to ship waste via our highways. And as far as I know, the people lost. Like that's still
the people do lose. Look at this. When you were talking, I went to the Columbia River Keepers thing, and this is a story that it says that the title is DOE plans to leave plutonium in the soil. That's their decision, and limit river cleanup. And this is the public's message was clear and emphatic. Plutonium is forever, and it should not be left at the Hanford soil near the Columbia River. Defying the overwhelming unanimous sentiment, DOE decided to leave large quantities of uranium, plutonium, cesium, and other contaminants in Hanford soil. So this is why people don't go to the hearings. They show up and the DOE says, up yours. This is where we're at. You can go to these protests, but this is why people end up going away. But you know what I say? We have our yes, we have our no. If we don't hear their no and we keep going, eventually they are going to have to do something, period.
Well, or if not, Lonnie, at least at the end of the freaking day, you know you did everything you could. That's where I'm at. I'm not going to save the world. I'm not going to stop this. But at least at the end of the day, I spoke my truths and I said what I needed to say. And I say this because I hope for our world that we will overcome this and that we will be better people. But in the meantime, I'm not going to just tolerate their lies and tolerate their inactions. I have to speak out and at least tell people what I know.
Yeah.
And then people can listen to me and they can go, gosh, I agree. I know. I've seen this too. Because this isn't just here in the Northwest. This is like every state. Every state in the U.S. has a Hanford. Everyone has reactors that are leaking and contaminated and they're old. Everyone has reactors that are using up their water and using up their air, and they're spitting out pollution. And it's all to get somebody rich, and it's not us. Although people are the ones that are hurting the most, and we're losing our loved ones. We're not able to have more. We can't have our babies. I don't know how long this will go on before people wise up, but I'm not being discouraged. I'm not going to stop just because people don't like what I'm talking about.
Well, the thing is, the reality is, it's not going to go away, period. It is not going to go away.
Yeah.
I mean,
it's getting worse.
Yeah.
It's getting worse. I mean, look at how the UN is trying to do an international ban, and the U.S. doesn't even go. We're like, no, we won't play. We're not doing it. You know, and so it's just going to keep getting worse until people say, no, we have to just quit it. And it comes back to being that battered wife. My bags are packed and I'm on the street corner. And I don't care if my neighbors tell me that I can't leave my husband because he's the leader of the world. You know, he beats me and I'm done. So I'm done doing it. And, you know, and that's how I operate my personal life. I shop. I try not to buy plastic. I try not to buy garbage.
You don't buy plastic. You don't buy garbage. Like, it's not that we don't try. We just don't do it. Like, I don't go into Walmart, period.
Right.
I'm not, and I don't go into Starbucks.
Right. Oh, I don't either, but I still.
We have 20 seconds left, Heidi. I need to jump in and tell you thank you. I hope you'll come back very soon because this has gone by too quickly. Thank you so much. Put your courage feet on, you guys. Thank you for joining us. Please join us tomorrow. Heidi, I can't thank you enough. I hope to hear from you soon.
Thanks, Lonnie.
the Anti-Media Radio with your host Nick Burnaby here on UCY.TV.